touchdown!
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye! Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed!
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown! Taysom Hill! Taysom TD!
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Welcome on in, folks, to Inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak. We are in the lull of the Black and Gold training sessions right now. Voluntary workouts, mandatory minicamp, a wrap, and now just the long wait until the end of July for training camp to kick off out in California. I know at least, Jeff, you got to be looking forward to getting ready for a trip out west.
Oh, yeah. 6 weeks from now. Yeah, this is the Kool-Aid episode, and we're both wearing red for some reason. I don't know why. It was unplanned, but it happened, and we're going to go with it. This is the time of year where it's just like, okay, what do we talk about? Because ideally, nothing's going on. It's every year I say this. This is the time of year where you kind of don't want to hear anything about players. This is the time of year where, you know, guys – might get arrested for something, or, you know, awkwardness comes out of nowhere. Like, this is the time of year where you would prefer as a fan to not hear about the players on the team, because it's almost always a bad thing. Like, guys do their own thing. Guys do charitable stuff, right? Like, guys hold camps during this time of year. But by and large, if someone's name crops up in a headline somewhere, it's not a good thing. This episode is kind of like a part two of Friday's episode, because there's a lot that I wanted to talk about that we didn't get into because Alvin Kamara's holdout, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if we have a particularly good word for it. Alvin Kamara leaving.
Walkout.
Right. Walkout is a good word for it. Yeah. So that he can, negotiate a new contract, whatever. That kind of took over last week's episode, but there was a good bit I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about Derek Carr. I want to talk about special teams in particular. So we're going to dive in on the offense and Derek Carr in this first segment. Second segment, we're going to hear an interview with Deuce McAllister. You already heard part of it in Friday's episode. I clipped that out. It was what he had to say about Alvin Kamara. Today, we're going to hear the rest of that interview. He talked about Taysom Hill. He talked about, you know, Willie Gay's role. We talked about the new kickoff, all that sort of good stuff. Then in the final segment, we're going to talk about special teams. Darren Rezzi had some really interesting things to say on the new kickoff. We're going to talk a lot about Lou Headley. I did some research into something that Darren said that I found interesting in terms of net punting yardage. So we're going to talk about that. And then just generally, like, are there position battles this year on the kicking game? And I say no, and we're going to go into why. But, all right, first segment, one bit of news, and that's the Saints signed tight end Jesper Horsted. Neither name is one that I've ever heard before.
No, right.
But, you know, just a depth guy who knows Derek Carr. He's really along the Juwan Johnson build of a tight end. He's like 6'3", 235, that range. So not a blocking guy. Could be a move guy. He's caught touchdowns in the NFL before. I believe he has three, but they're all in one game.
Right.
He was all Ivy League back at Princeton. He was a college wide receiver, got converted to tight end. And to make room for him on the roster, the Saints cut Kyle Sheets, a guy who probably needs to be converted to a tight end. I was talking to Mike Dettillier, and it's like, if you put Kyle Sheets and Michael Jacobson next to each other and asked me, okay, which one's the tight end? I'd be like, I don't know, it's anybody's guess, right? Because you're talking about 6'4", 220. Versus like 6'7", 223, something like that. Like, Michael Jacobson is a beanpole, and that's where it's going to be interesting to see. We talked a good bit about the tight end class. We don't have to get into it too much, but if Juwan's not there, if Juwan is not able to get back, and I think there's hope is that he is still able to be that primary tight end throughout the season, I don't know where you go for production there. Like, you're clean at number one on the depth chart. Like, I think that if you just go by the top line of the depth chart, this is probably a playoff team in terms of quality, yeah. Right? But once you get to two and three, that's dicey. That's dicey. And, you know, that's what this NFL is. I mean, it's a battle of depth so much of the time. And so you know, I've had people ask me like, oh, do you think this is a playoff team? And I to say, I think they can be, but in order for that to happen, you're going to need to be on the right side of the injury bubble in a way that you can't predict, right? And that's because this team, this roster, is not built with the level of depth that you may have seen in years past, right? Particularly like this 2017, 2018, 2019 teams. So we'll see. But I did think that was interesting, and they brought in Jesper. So he's the guy we'll get our first look at training camp. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a few more signings in the interim, in the offing here, before we get out to Irvine.
You mentioned Jacobson, and I think the Celtics called him for their help with their run to the NBA title because he looks like a baller on the hardwood.
Former basketball player. Where? Go Celtics. Hey.
I think I'd give you a shout out.
I did appreciate that the Mavs, the Dallas fans had a good time on Friday. They got really excited about it. They're like, we finally figured it out. And then it was like, oh, it's almost like the Celtics didn't care to sweep you because they would rather win at home anyway. It's almost
that's
like,
what I thought. It was like, we are going to, well, they can have this and we're just going to house them in Boston on Monday night.
It's almost like that was a classic gentleman sweep game. And they like the only difference between that, and then this is just a tangent, but we won't get on for too long. The only difference between what the Celtics did and what most teams do is they just didn't try at all. they were like, yeah, beat us by 48. We don't care. Go for it.
Knock your socks off, right?
Because every other game, it was like, oh, 20-point lead, 20-point lead, 20-point lead. Anyway, we don't have to get into that.
Though, to give the Mavs fans a little bit of hope and happiness there.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, outside the Pelicans, this was a really solid basketball year for me in terms of UConn and the Celtics winning.
You've been rolling, right?
Your childhood teams. But hey, you know, I still, you know, the Giants are never going to win the Super Bowl as long as I live. So, you know, don't get too mad about that. Anyway, so let's get into Derek Carr. I do feel like I hear a lot about like, hey, why are you talking so much about Spencer Rattler and Jake Hader? And I get it. And I will admit, we probably haven't talked as much about Derek Carr as maybe we should this time of year. But it's partially because like, it's not that interesting to talk about. Like, you kind of know what it's going to be, and until we get to it, there's really not a lot to say other than, okay, let's see how quickly he can pick this up. Is he progressing in this new system? Does Clint Kubiak's scheme seem like it's going to work for him? And so far, all of these answers are yes. Now, I put an asterisk next to that because we said the same thing last year. And what I don't want to do is spend all offseason hyping up Derek Carr in ways that we may have done last year. And then we get to the season and he's like, wow, this is a guy in a new offense. Why does he not look like, you know, I've been hearing all training camp about how he's running the shit out of this system. And now, you know, we're getting off to a slow start. What the hell? It's because that's kind of what happens with new systems, right? Like you have to kind of build in some time for that, you know, acclimation. And the question's going to be, okay, how much time do you need? How much of that is winnable territory? And how much of that is costing you chances to win? And that's going to be the biggest question early on. That said, you know, we talked about his success so far in those situations, the 2-minute drives, finishing them out for touchdowns. I do appreciate that. And, you know, one thing that Derek talked about on Thursday, the last day of minicamp practice, is he brought this up specifically, and he brought up how there have been a handful of times throughout the course of these practices where, you know, he'll complete a ball to Chris Olave and he'll be like, okay. And then Clint is like, now I need it faster. Do it again. And, you know, it's the type of thing that you kind of take for granted, but I think what you're really hearing there is that's something that wasn't happening last year. Like the attention to detail wasn't there previously. And it was like, yeah, it's good enough. Move on. Right. And that's not good for your team. That's not good for accountability. Right. And I'm going to play his clip here in a second. But, you know, when he's talking about how he appreciates in meetings that Clint is up there calling him out in front of his teammates, because it's like, no, this needs to be better. This needs to be better. It's like you kind of look back and you're like, well, why were people upset about accountability last year? Because stuff like that wasn't happening. right? Because Derek would make mistakes. And this kind of goes back to my critique of Pete Carmichael of like, I think Pete Carmichael is and always has been a great game planner. I think he is a great kind of X's and O's coach. I do not think he is a great leader of men. I don't think that he is someone who would walk in that room and be like, no, you listen to me. This is how it's going to go. Right. Like, no, yeah, that you completed that pass, but it's not the way it was supposed to be run. Like, does that seem like his personality to you? Absolutely not. And when people get frustrated in that room, it kind of probably goes back to that, where there was way too much deference to the quarterback, even more so than the quarterback probably wanted. Like, you have the quarterback going up there and saying, thank you for calling me out in front of my teammates, because like that's what it's supposed to be. And so let's hear that clip from Derek, and then I want to hear what you have to say about it.
You know, the best offenses that I've been able to play with, it was very detail oriented, you know, like, and no one gets a pass, you know, like, you know, if I do something, I complete a ball, like it's happened like 5 times where like I've completed a ball and like Clint's like, nope, I need it quicker. And it's like that urgency, that intensity, like, yeah, it was a great play and we could have all just high five and be like, yeah, awesome. He's like, no, quick. He's pushing me all the time to just try and be perfect, And when he does that to me, it opens the door for everyone in the room to be like, oh shoot, I better be on my stuff. If the quarterback's getting it, then I know everybody's got to get it. And I think that right there, and you know, us meeting together, you know, them hearing him coach me in front of everybody, and the level of standard that he has set for me, and the perfection that he's trying to set for me. No one's perfect, but we set that standard. Then he knows, you know, everyone else knows that as leaders, Eric and I and Taysom, Jamal, we can go to these guys and be like, you know, hey, we need you to go, you know, and because we're the ones getting it first. And so I think that part of it has been really cool from this staff and this offseason.
Yeah, for me, you know, you talked about us not talking up or hyping up Carr much during these offseason workouts. And, you know, the great text line at WWL comes in and it's, you hear too often than not, it's like, oh, you guys are just pushing sunshine and rainbows. And that's
like sunshine and rainbows.
I know. And I feel like we don't want to start pushing like, oh my God, Carr's looked amazing in camp so far. You know, then think people are going to get Super Bowl hopes and dreams off of it. But the fact is, though, I mean, he has been competent. He's looked clearly like the number one QB. I know we talked about that before. The fact that obviously these other two quarterbacks in camp, they might have a spot on this roster, obviously, but they're not overtaking Derek yet. He's clearly by far and away in the lead. You can tell with his decisiveness, the accuracy, just the way he's kind of commanding this offense at an early stage. And to me, that's obviously a huge positive, because I was worried about that narrative going into this season. It's like, oh, well, let's see. You know, it's going to be the talk of Carr's learning a new offense, so it's going to take a while to get acclimated to this. And obviously, we're still in the very early goings of it, and we'll kind of see when things do progress further during training camp when the pads are on. And obviously, too, the offensive line has to do their job, because we're not seeing much of a pass rush up front, them having to do any blocking and protecting Carr. But I don't know. I'm definitely feeling good about him running this system under Clint Kubiak. We've talked about it before, too, how things have been simplified with the verbiage, and it's just easier to spit out for him and the other quarterbacks, not compared to the offense with P. Carmichael and Sean Payton that was all tailored to Drew Brees.
There's multiple questions to be asked here, right? And one of them is, okay, is everyone on the same page now in ways that they were not previously? And I think that's true. Like, I think that there were issues in the past of like, okay, some people are at certain levels of this offense and some people know it a lot better than others. And some people feel like you should be doing this a certain way and you're not.
Yeah.
And you're like, but I came in this year and this is what they told me to do. So what's the right, you know, I think that is difficult just in general, as you're trying to kind of hodgepodge this offense together with everyone with different levels of understanding of the offense. This year, everyone's back to square one. And in terms of community and camaraderie, that's helpful. That's helpful. And, you know, one thing that Derek said is that last year, it wasn't really until probably mid-season that he felt like he was up to speed in the offense, not necessarily being able to run the offense. But when you hear about someone saying, okay, second nature, that's the word he used. It's like, okay, you're not thinking on the field. You're just reacting. Like you, right. you know, someone says something and you have it. Right. And that's, it's hard to rush that. It's hard. Like you can't really be there until you get there. And so, you know, Derek was asked about kind of slow starts he's had in the past, and he has had to learn a lot of different systems, even in a, for a 10-year veteran on that, who's been on the same team for a lot of that time. He said to learn, what, 5-6 different offenses? I mean, even his time with the Saints, he's learned 2 different offenses.
Exactly, right.
So, you know, you'd hope that that structure of learning helps him speed things up this time around. But this is what he had to say when he was asked about that.
Man, it's just, it's a new year, you know. You know, again, there's nobody cares at the end of the day. You got to learn new offense. Nobody cares at all. You know, we got to go perform. And I just tried my best to take everything and the experience that I've learned, and I asked myself that question, how can I be better in this first year? And I looked at everything I'm doing, and I just tried to take it all to just an extreme level of mental, you know, capacity that I could possibly take. And hopefully I'm not showing it too much, but I'm tired. You know, like this offseason has been an absolute mental grind for me and for my teammates, and just pushing the guy. I've been pushing so hard and encouraging so hard to get past certain steps, you know, because no matter if Eric wants to have a good year, that I got to have a good year. You know, the running backs want to have a good year, the O-line, the tight end, you know, it takes everybody, you know? And so we have been pushing so hard just to make sure that we can come out and just be so focused on playing good football from the start. And, you know, I don't have any promises. I don't have any guarantees that it's going to be better. I just know that we did more, and we're going to continue to do more until training camp gets here and the season gets here.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I mean, that's going to be a question. We'll have a better idea when we get to training camp, especially those 49ers joint practices. I think that'll be helpful. What I will say is, like, you know, and Derek talked about, like, okay, he had to come in better shape this year because of all the play actions. And I think that's going to be a much more helpful setup for everyone on this team in terms of, you know, there's this misnomer that you have to run the ball well, that you have to rip off chunk plays in the run game to get to an effective play action. That's not true. You just have to be willing to run the ball, right? Like another team can stop the run because they're firing off the line of scrimmage. Just because you didn't pick up 3-4 yards of carry, the fact that they're respecting the run is all you need to run a play action. I think that's what you would get away from last year, is the run game wouldn't be effective and you just didn't do it. Later in the year, you saw it. The numbers are clear. And that's why they kind of went back to it that well more and more often. And you're going to see that. And there's a lot of different types of play action. Like, this is a lot of running for the quarterback in this offense. And we've seen that throughout the minicamp even. Like, you're constantly seeing the running, the quarterback, like, sprinting out away from the line of scrimmage. Whether he has the ball or not, you have to sell that play action fake. And it's just a lot more running than you typically would see a Saints quarterback do. And so that's going to be a change. One other thing I want to get into here, and it's not really about Derek Carr, but it's about, you know, what he was saying about the offensive line. And here's a clip of Derek talking about that.
I think the coolest thing about our offensive line, I think they've had a wonderful camp and OTAs and offseason. I really do. But I think the coolest thing I've seen, that unit just come together. Like, they are a walking herd down the hallway wherever they go. And I think that's really cool. I think that unity, that bond, that cohesiveness, that togetherness, I thought they were close last year, but this is just another level that they've taken it to with Eric's leadership and, you know, seizing those guys. I mean, I just, you know, they've just, everyone's bought in. You know, you just feel this, and not anyone wasn't. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just different. You know, you can just feel a different, stampede coming down the hall when we were about to start our offensive meeting, and you hear Eric yell, you know, 30 seconds later, every offensive lineman's going to walk in the door. And that's a cool thing to see. And so as a quarterback, I mean, those are your best friends. And so, you know, whenever you see that group growing together, and then as they're growing tighter together, and then they start doing some things on the field, you're like, oh, wow. You know, that's just a positive sign. And so I think they took to heart a lot of stuff, you know, from last year and things like that. And, you know, they got a lot of toughness and mental makeup about them. And I've just been really impressed with just watching. On the field stuff's been awesome, but off the field, just that has been the coolest part to me.
Well, the big thing to be there, and something that I have noticed over this season as opposed to the last season, the year before, and what Derek's talking about, Eric McCoy is the leader of that offensive line group now. And you would probably say he was the leader of that offensive line group last year, but it's tough to be the leader of a group when you are not the veteran player of that group. Right. And, yeah. You know, one of the things that this team lost in the last few seasons that I don't think was replaced well enough was Teron Armstead in that leadership that he had, that he inherently was able to bring to that room in a way that not everyone can. He was a leader of that room. He was the guy who talked to the media. Well, when he left, you're naturally going to be like, okay, who's taking over that leadership role? Is it going to be Ryan Ramczyk, a guy who barely ever talks? That can't be it. Is it going to be Andres Pete, a guy who barely ever talks? And I'm not even sure if he likes to play football. That can't be it. There's a reason that we constantly talk to James Hurst, because even though he wasn't like a key player of that offensive line, he became a more entrenched player, but he was a backup swing tackle, but he was talking to the media every week. And that's because he ended up being like that team leader. Cause it's really tough for a third, fourth year pro to be like, I'm in charge now, give me the reins. But I think that's what happened. That's what's happened so far this year. And I think that's a very productive thing, because Eric McCoy has a very, what's the word? Like leadership savvy in his personality. Like, he just kind of oozes, like, you want to follow that guy. Like, he is a very easy person to get behind, right? And it's easy to say that until you don't have it. And then you're like, well, who's bringing that to that room? And I think that is a very good thing for that group this year, because I'm not sure that kind of, you know, lighthouse, if you will, like the person that you were supposed to kind of use as your weather vane of like, this is how we're supposed to be acting, this is how an NFL player, a professional works. I think that's there right now. And I think everyone's kind of more tight knit around Eric, and even Caesar, like Caesar's kind of in that secondary role too. But I think like what Derek's saying there is on point. And I think you can notice that in terms of how the offensive line operates. And, you know, when you have five offensive linemen playing as a unit, and they can be a lot better than the individual pieces. And I think that's good for young players, particularly that group this year, which has a lot of young players on it. And so we'll see how that develops. But I just thought that was a really good observation, and you can really see it in terms of Eric being the new leader of that group.
Yeah. And I think what you're talking about too, with him, you know, being that mouthpiece, I guess, for the group, he's really good at just conveying the information to you. He's not going to give you a lot of NFL talk, player talk, you know, he's going to give you quite honest answers, and it might not be the most lengthy soundbite, but he's going to give you a solid, cohesive answer. That's not just brushing you off, giving you, you know, your typical NFL speak that you get from guys.
Yeah. Eric's real. He's just a real person. Like he puts the work in, and he's honest with you about it. You know, like, he got in a fight with Derek on the field last year, and it was like, you know, a positive moment for the team in the long run. Like, they were better after that. And like, I just think that's a good, I don't know, it's just a good example of like, there's positive and negative emotions, and you can kind of create it in all sorts of different ways. And it's like, that's the type of thing that could have spiraled and become a major issue. Instead, because of the guy Eric is, and because this is a partnership with a quarterback and a center, you're able to spin that positively. And, you know, I think that is a lot to say about who Eric is as a leader, and hopefully that continues. But that's it. There's a lot more to that interview. If you want to go check it out, feel free. Derek talked forever. He had a lot of interesting things to say. It just sounds like there's a lot of buy-in right now. And we'll see. You know, that was the case last year too. So that's where I say, like, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But one of the things he said was like, this team kind of came in pissed off this year. Like, that's a quote. Like, they're angry about how last year went, because it's like, well, I guess we got to put in more work now. And that's kind of what you've seen so far. And so hopefully the offense shows the signs of that early on, but we'll see. I'm sure everyone's gearing up to hate on Derek Carr more. So if he does struggle, the grace won't last very long.
Yeah, this team is not like lacking tons of talent. There is a lot of talented players on this roster. It's just the fact we're going to see how can it come together up front, the offensive line, definitely on offense. The run game needs to get better than it was a year ago. And overall for Carr, had a pretty decent season, considering the fact, too, the man was dealing with a shoulder injury for most of it, gutted through it, and then we saw really, hopefully, the guy he is at the end of the year, he can be that player to start week one against Carolina.
He's got to be that player. Like, that's the deal.
Got to be, right.
He's got to be the 16th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. That's what he is now. I don't need Derek to be, you know, first team all pro, all right? I do need him to be above replacement at quarterback, right? Yeah. Like, I need a 4,000 yard, 25 interception, 8 or fewer, I'm sorry, 25 touchdown, 10 or fewer interceptions guy, someone who's going to execute in the red zone, someone who's going to lead game winning drives. You know, that's what you need. You don't need 5,000 yards. You don't need 40 touchdowns. You don't need these crazy otherworldly stats. You need consistency. And so we'll see if that's what we get from Derek in year two. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic, but that's just me. I'm an optimistic person, typically speaking.
My hopes and dreams rely on upfront, so we'll get a more of a picture of it come training camp time. I'm definitely still leery about this O-line.
That's fair, as you should be. We'll find out. But all right, let's wrap up the segment of Inside Black and Gold. Have you subscribed yet? Have you? Why not? And if so, thank you. Do it. That's all. Ring the bell on YouTube. Make sure to go check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Even if you watch on YouTube, go over to your podcast player. Hit subscribe. Why not? What do I ask you for? This.
We're a good time.
Yeah. Hit us up on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak, at SteveGellerWWL. You can hit the show up at Saints_pod. And without further ado, let's get to some ads.